So I've titled tonight's devotional, From Death to Life, by God's Grace, for His Glory. From Death to Life, by God's Grace, for God's Glory. And I will just go through this passage, and I'm going to break it up into four parts. And in each part, I'll just be developing it more, both from the external physical standpoint, and then we'll kind of look at the internal spiritual standpoint. So if I say, let's look at something, let's look at what's happening internally, you can equate that to what's happening spiritually. Because I think it's very easy to read through this. I've read through this many times, and to kind of not get a good sense of what's exactly happening. So let's start out with the first part. This is from verses 4 through 6. No, I'm not a sailor, but I know enough that sailors most fear wind. You know, it can rain like monsoons. They don't care. But if it starts to get windy, trouble. Because wind is potential danger, catastrophe, kicks up waves. You just don't know how to steer the ship. And here, the first thing that we read is that God sent a great wind on the sea. Such a violent storm. And there's one thing to be like, this is a really bad storm. But it's another thing to be like, our ship is going to sink. That's what it says. The ship threatened to break up. Look here also that all the sailors were afraid. I imagine these were pretty seafaring folks that had experience. And I'll just use a recent example. My family had an opportunity to fly overseas, and we're flying across the Atlantic Ocean, and we hit some turbulence. And I wasn't afraid because, you know, seatbelt signs on, and hitting some turbulence, no big deal. But there was one time that I did take notice, and that was when we hit some turbulence. Captain got on. Attendants, take your seats. Hey, if they're worried, I start to notice. But if there isn't anything going on, plane's going like this, I'm not worried. Here, the sailors were all afraid. So this is a serious problem. And we see here also that they were crying out to each to their own God. This reminded me of what Pastor Andy was preaching on this morning, that we live in a world that is diverse, multicultural. These sailors, likely multicultural, each having their own God, maybe each speaking multiple languages from different lands. We get another sense in verse 5 that this is how serious it is, that they're throwing cargo off the ship. This is their livelihood. They're going across to Tarshish, and if they don't have anything to sell or get rid of, that was a trip made for nothing. You know, they're throwing off cargo. But in another way, if you're comparing, you know, making money, making sure this trip is profitable versus staying alive, I think the choice is pretty clear. They've already made that choice. They're throwing off all their cargo into the sea. So imagine for a moment, wind, maybe 30, 40 miles an hour, waves being kicked up, I don't know, to the chandeliers perhaps. The ship is rocking. There's chaos on the ship. People are throwing off cargo. Now, the captain went down below. I don't know why. Maybe because as the waves get over the ship, there's water going under the decks. Maybe they're trying to get the water out. And who does he see? He sees Jonas sleeping. And he's as panicked as anybody, trying to keep everybody alive. Jonah, get up. What are you doing? You know, how can you sleep? Call on your God. Maybe he might hear us. So in your mind, let your imagination run wild a little bit, because this is craziness going on. But let's look a little bit internally and spiritually about what's happening. I've already kind of mentioned that these sailors were a spiritual group. They believed in a God. You notice the God, little g. Also, if you notice in verse 6, the captain, as he's talking to Jonah, call on your God, little g. Because everybody has their gods. Call on whatever you believe in. There's also not a strong faith Because in verse 6, you see, maybe he might take notice. I would say that if you call out, and maybe he might hear me, maybe not. That's maybe a belief, but it's not a driving faith in your life. That's what the captain says. And let's just make sure all our bases are covered. So here in this first section, I would say that we have a good picture of where we are in the world, a picture of where man stands. Okay. Let's look at the second section, which I've broken up from verses 7 through 10. So all this is happening. They're frantically trying to save their lives, save the ship. And somewhere along the line, they realize all this work that we're trying to do is not cutting it. And so they stop and say, let us cast lots. So they're looking outwards. They're looking towards something else. They're not looking at what they're trying to do because that's not working. So they cast lots. I guess all the straws pointed to Jonah. And here they ask Jonah, tell us, who are you? Where are you from? I think this is, we get a sense of how the multicultural aspect of this ship. Who are you? And he answers, as you can see in verse 9, I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. I don't think he said it that way, actually. I don't think he said it with such conviction. I think he probably just said it like a statement. I am a Hebrew. You know, I worship the Lord, the God of heaven. You know, just kind of knows all the right words to say. But I don't think he saw this as his moment to declare the glory of the God, of God. Well, do not let the choice of words bypass you either. Here, you know, this is in Genesis, God who created the heavens and the earth. Here he says, made the sea and dry land. Out of all the words you could choose in this tempest that we're in, you mentioned sea. Yes, the sea's about to destroy us. And yes, dry land. We're trying to get the dry land. And I don't know if that was just a little cynicism or a little, I don't know what it was, but it clearly hit home. And they went from being afraid, the sailors, to being terrified. I love this question. What have you done? You know, I equate that question, the way they've asked it, to me walking into my house, seeing a bunch of Crayola marker on the wall, seeing my kid holding the marker, and me saying, what have you done? Now, I know what happened. So it's not a question of, you know, please explain to me. It's more like, what have you done? Here, we know that is a rhetorical question because the Bible provides us. They already knew he was running away from the Lord. They already knew that. It's more of an accusatory. It's your fault. What have you done? What have you done to the Lord that you've claimed, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land? And if there's anything we can do to get to dry land, you have prevented us from doing that. So let's look at what's going on in the sailors as spiritually. And here, as I've already mentioned, I think they've moved from works. They've moved from works to, I have no control of what's going on, and we are looking for an answer outside of myself, outside of us. Here, we have a prophet who states, and I don't know how he said it, but he states by the word, the Lord in truth. And that had an impact. They're terrified. So here in the second section, I would say that we have a picture of God, God's position. Okay, so the first, man's position, God's position in the second group. And I want you to also notice that from here on out, there's no more God, no more little g, it's all Lord. So this third section here, verses 11 through 14, we see that the sea is getting rougher. So whatever you imagined when I started, imagine worse. Maybe waves, the height of the ceiling, more wind, 60 miles an hour, ship is like about to capsize. Okay. And now they're saying, what should we do to you to make the sea calm for us? Jonah has a great, he's not like, okay, let me think about this. He has a ready answer. Basically says, throw me into the sea. I know it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Now, what is the response of the men? Instead, the men did their best to row back to land. Kind of odd. Kind of interesting, because not that long before, they were just accusing Jonah of the reason why this calamity had happened to them. And if they still believe that, I would be like, great. He's just told us to throw him overboard. It's his fault. Pick him up. Get him over. But that isn't what happens. In fact, they were so condemning to Jonah before, not that long ago, that now, for disobeying the Lord, we know that he was running away from the Lord. We know that God told Jonah, go this way to Nineveh. He went that way. And here the sailors asked the direct question. Jonah told them, do this. What did they do? They did that. So here, they may have in their heart or in their heart and spirit began to believe in the God, the Hebrew God, and call out to him. But when it comes to obeying him, they're not quite there. Going on, something else happens. The something else is written here that is really spoke to me. So they did this. They tried to go back to shore, and the storm got worse. So whatever you just imagined about a minute ago, think worse. We're pretty much at our limits now of what this is. What kind of storm and sea is happening? And what do they do now? They cry out to the Lord, not to the Hebrew God, not to Jonah's God, but they call out to the Lord. They address him, please, Lord, do not let us die. And they say, do not let us die for why? For killing an innocent man. Which seems to be contrary to what they just believed, again, a few verses before. Jonah, you're the cause of this. But now they're calling him an innocent man. No accident, clearly. Kind of foreshadowing some other innocent man that we know who will die. But they also give Lord the position for which he is. For you, Lord, have done as you pleased. So here, I would say that in this section here, we get a picture of Christ. That this is what you need to do to be saved. You need to throw me overboard. And they believe, well, killing this innocent man, that is sin. And that's just wrong. And they ask the Lord, do not hold us accountable for that. They ask for forgiveness. So we have a picture of where man is. We have a picture of where God lies. Now we have a picture of somewhat what a Christ, kind of Christ, foreshadowing Christ. And of course, as you could probably figure out, what's the last part? The last part here is in 15 through 16, the response or salvation of these sailors. So they took him and threw him overboard. And what do you imagine that sea happening? Calm. Think sunny skies. Think beautiful sea. Maybe a few clouds. Everything just calm. So they are now physically saved from this terrible tempest. But we also know in verse 16 that they are spiritually saved, for they greatly feared the Lord. They made vows to the Lord and sacrificed to the Lord. So here we have salvation of these sailors, it appears. So during these past couple weeks, as I've had the opportunity to meditate on this, you know, that God has this just really convicting way of when we're studying the Bible and we're thinking about this and we're learning about it, that the Bible starts to turn into a mirror You start to see yourself in what's happening here. And, you know, and I was remembering how I used to believe, everyone, whatever you believe, there's many gods, and that, you know, they all lead to the same points, and how I used to be like that. And then I remember how I came to, okay, there is a God of the Bible. And then I remembered, okay, crying out to the Lord, okay. And then, and even now, I will cry out to the Lord, and he'll tell me to go this way, and I'll be like, well, maybe I'll keep going this way. And it is humbling and convicting. But by God's grace, for his glory, his plan continues. So, you know, and I'll throw the question out to you. You know, where are you at? What kind of storms are you in? Where do you see yourself in this little picture? Maybe facing a pretty big storm that seems impossible. Getting the Lord's instruction that doesn't make sense. Or maybe you trust in the Lord, but you're trying to row harder. Or maybe you're in where the sea is calm and you're enjoying his peace. I think we all would love to be there. We all would love to increase our fear of the Lord. Now, I want to take a few more minutes because I would feel like I would be remiss if I didn't talk about Jonah, since the book is called Jonah. And Jonah's in this, but I've clearly focused on the sailors. So what happens here to Jonah? In the last verse, you can see that he is thrown overboard, and he is now swallowed by a fish that the Lord provided. Now, I will tell you that Jonah meets pretty much every criteria for clinical depression. Okay, he's sleeping a lot. He is kind of oblivious to what's going on in the world. He just wants to sleep. He's kind of has suicidal ideations. We see that a little bit now. I mean, he's basically throw me overboard. I mean, it's a huge storm. He didn't say kill me. That isn't what the Lord said. The Lord just said throw me overboard. But everyone assumes that, well, you're going to die in this. In chapter 4, he mentions about dying a lot. I'd rather die. So clinically depressed he is. I would say maybe that's a cross he has to bear. Maybe that's a tendency that he has that many people have, maybe you have. But here's the amazing thing. Jonah saved these sailors through his disobedience and his character flaws and his, I don't know, failure, right? I mean, he was supposed to go this way, he went that way, and because he went that way, the sailors are now saved. And what a encouragement that is for us, right? Because I know I have character flaws. I know I have tendencies. But despite that, by God's grace, it will be for his glory. So as we're praying earlier, and we're talking about ministries at school, and we're talking about maybe thinking about ministries in our family or work or in our neighborhood, and we think, well, how am I going to do that? What am I going to say? How is that going to happen? I would just say, you know, by God's grace, it will be for his glory. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to just hear your gospel message in this passage and to reflect upon your glory, Lord, and your grace in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.